First of all, I want to remind you that I quite often encourage people to go to the shrine for lunch after Mass, after the 11 o'clock Mass. But next Sunday, please don't go to the shrine for lunch. Go there for breakfast, because after Mass next Sunday, we will have our parish picnic here on our grounds. A lot of fun, so I think you should come here, and it'll be from after Mass till around 2 o'clock. A fellow was walking down the street and saw an old guy sitting on a high curb right above a pothole that was filled with water and has a fishing pole. And the fellow says to him, "How many have you caught?" The fellow looks up and said, "You're number 8 today." The point is, sometimes we're not sure who the fool is, but we are not to be fools, we are to be wise. Both in the first reading, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we are called to seek wisdom and to know where wisdom comes from. It comes from God, who is the creator of and source of all good things, especially from the Holy Spirit. Indeed, wisdom is one of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit given in confirmation. Paul tells us why we are to be wise, because the days are evil. And today is no better than Paul's day. It may be worse. People today are denying the simplest realities. They're denying human nature and the sanctity of every human life. They're denying the nature of human marriage. They deny the fact that actions have consequences. They deny the fact even that there's no such thing as truth. They say the truth can change, where in fact, and people have your truth and my truth, but in fact, there is only one truth. Truth is conformity with reality. And in the gospel, we see a good example of foolishness. Jesus says as clearly as possible, "But the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." He didn't say it's just a sign, but it is my flesh for the life of the world. And the foolishness is that the people are quarreling among themselves, asking how this can happen. They're not asking Jesus, who could tell them. But Jesus doesn't tell them, because he knows their attitude is that he's crazy, that it can't be, they won't listen. And rather than saying, "Well, no, you don't understand, let me explain it," rather than saying that, he doubles down and says, and because he knows their closed hearts and ears, he doubles down and says again, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Jesus is probably frustrated here. I've often said that Jesus must have a flat forehead, because so many times he tells his people something and they just don't understand. So, you know, this idea. Jesus is frustrated, but he tells again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat and drink the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, you have no life." He is making it as clear as possible. The Eucharist is Jesus. It is his body and blood, soul and divinity. And indeed, this was never really questioned for the first 1,500 years after the Jesus' death and resurrection. It was understood by all Christians until the Protestant Reformation. Granted, the Eucharist doesn't make sense, because how can bread and wine become Jesus? The simple answer: by God's power. By the same power that created all that is. And Jesus uses the sign of bread and wine, an unbloody representation of the bloody sacrifice of Calvary, making it possible to us to approach without fear or revulsion. Jesus has even made possible Eucharistic miracles to demonstrate the reality that Jesus is, in fact, the Eucharist, that the Eucharist is Jesus. And there are those who say that if we really understood the Eucharist, we would approach the Eucharist on our hands and knees out of humility, because we know what is there present. And while we do approach the Eucharist standing, and it is okay to kneel, we at least must bend the knees of our hearts as we approach. We have to be so thankful of this gift that we don't deserve, we are not worthy of, and yet we are still called to it. We are to receive this great gift with reverence, not popping the Eucharist into our mouth like a piece of popcorn, but receiving with profound attention and attentiveness, because this is, in fact, food for eternal life. This is Jesus, who was crucified, who died, and rose again. This is Jesus, who wants us to live in him, that he may live in us, that we may live in him here in this world, bearing witness to the truth of the good news by the way that we live, by kindness, by mercy, by sharing what is true, that we might live in him each day, fed by the most holy Eucharist, until the Lord calls us to be with him forever in the world that will never end, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all the saints forever.